I do think there will be times that you make a decision to bring your community something that you think is a great idea and it might fall flat, and that's okay. You just pick yourself up and you pivot and you move on.
Unconventional Life, the show where I interview successful entrepreneurs, creatives, and thought leaders on how they earn their living in non-traditional ways. We will explore how they took the path less traveled, what their revenue model looks like, and why they are prioritizing their passion over their paycheck. I'm your host, Jewel Schroeder. Unconventional Life, welcome. This is your host, Jewel Schroeder, tuning in today from Boulder, Colorado. Today's guest is joining me from Chicago, Illinois. I've got Lindsay Pinchuk in the house. Lindsay, are you ready to take us down the path less traveled?
I am ready. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, super excited to have this woman on the show. She is such a powerhouse as an award-winning entrepreneur who started and sold a seven-figure business out of being a mom. I know your story is quite unconventional with $500 in your pocket and pregnant with a baby in your belly. You left a high-powered job at a magazine publishing executive and then founded your first company, Bump Club and Beyond, which has been a community of resources, support, and educational tools for millions of parents and parents-to-be across the country. And I know in just 1 year, you turned a profit through the company to seven figures in revenue each year, a community of over 3 million users, and then later ended up a decade later selling the company to an acquisition of a large agency holding company. So I know you've had quite the journey and upcoming attractions. You're hosting a masterclass for women entrepreneurs, and we have a great giveaway coming up towards the end of the show. So we'll talk about that a little bit later. So Lindsay, welcome to the show. Fill in any gaps I might've left out and give us a glimpse into your personal life.
Yeah. Thank you so much. So do you want me to just start with how I did it, why I did it?
Yeah.
All right. So I was pregnant and, you know, I wanted community and support. I was living in downtown Chicago. My husband and I are not from here, and I knew I needed my people, and none of my people at the time were pregnant. And so I said to my husband, like, there has to be a business or there has to be a place for me to find other pregnant women. And there really wasn't. There was, there were some prenatal yoga classes, all of which started at like 5 PM in like the neighborhoods, you know, surrounding Chicago. And I was like, as a, you know, working woman, I couldn't really get from the Loop to Lincoln Park by 5 o'clock. And I was like, this is like a no-go for me. So I started hosting my own events with various partners around the city. And you have to remember, this was before social media. This was in 2010. There was Facebook, but no Facebook pages. There was no Instagram, no Snapchat, no TikTok, like none of that. There was Twitter, but like, I wasn't big on Twitter. And honestly, I sent an email to everyone I knew. I said, hey, like, I'm pregnant and I'm starting this company. At the time it was called Bump Club Chicago. I said, I'm hosting an event. If you know anyone who's pregnant, send them my way. And the first two events filled up. We had 50 people at each one just by word of mouth, which was amazing. And then people were like, what's next? What's next? And so me being pregnant, I was like, well, what do I need right now? And so I started hosting dinners, bringing in expert speakers and people who really could fill the gaps on this life stage. And I also started just showing up as an expectant mom, like at my events, on my personal social media, on our website. And I just shared. And I think I know that people really just globbed on and gravitated towards the fact that I was being honest and talking about my fat ankles and like how I felt and my stretch marks and like that I was nauseous and that I had gestational diabetes. And, you know, people really could connect with that. And ultimately, after I had my daughter, I went back to work for a few weeks, and my husband and I made the decision together that I was going to quit my job and I was going to pursue this full time. During maternity leave, it really became a bigger thing. I was working on it a lot more. I had a really great first baby. She slept all the time. My second one did not. So it was a good thing that it happened with my first. And so I ended up going back to work for a minute. And then I left. I said to myself, like, what's the worst that happens? The company doesn't take off and I come back into magazine advertising, but I never looked back. And, you know, ultimately I grew the brand from, you know, only in Chicago to, we were doing events in 30 cities across North America. Wow. We were working with brands such as Target and Nordstrom. I hired a team. We had our own like touring event series that we took all across the country. And we had about 3 million people across all of our platforms and, you know, through our ads and everything that were engaging with us every month. And that was when I sold it 10 years later.
So. Yeah. So cool. And when you look at that journey, and I want to talk a little bit about what you teach to female founders now, because I know you do a lot of that work. What didn't you know that you know now when you started?
So it's so funny because I always tell my, like in my classes and my clients, like I didn't realize at the time what I was doing. Like yes, like 5, 6, 7 years into it. But like when I first started, I was a marketer. I had a master's in integrated marketing from Northwestern, you know? And so like, of course I understood marketing and I knew partnerships and I understood like how that all kind of worked together. But I didn't realize that, honest to God, me showing up as myself every single day and just being me was what drove the brand. And honest to God, it did. And like, to think that I built a brand off of just being a mom and being honest. And I don't think I realized that until we started touring with Nordstrom. We were hired to create this event series, and it wasn't just like create the event. It was create the event and bring the Bump Club community. And we did 24 events across the country in like a matter of, I don't know, like 16 months or something. Every weekend I was like at a different Nordstrom around the country. And I don't think it was until that happened and people were showing up at the events being like, oh my God, like I follow you and I have followed you for so long, that I realized that this business was me. And you really can build a business. And I'm not talking about being an influencer, because that was not what I was doing. I was sharing my life stage and I monetized a community. Like I connected with these people and they in turn bought tickets to come to my events and subscribe to what I was doing. And I didn't realize that at the time. And something that I teach all the time now is just be yourself and like show up as you. And the biggest compliment that people give me are when they meet me and they're like, oh my God, you are the same as you are on your social media. And it's not like I have some giant personal following. Like I just like retook over my personal handle last year when I left Bump Club. But to hear people say that, I'm like, yes, you're right. I am exactly as I am on my social, because that's how I like, that's me, you know? So that's what I didn't realize.
Yeah. I love that. And you know, when you look at even now, right? And the continuation, like you said, through your classes and different ways that you engage people about building an engaged following and then being able to monetize that. I think that's a lot of gap for some people. Either some people really can monetize, but then they miss the community and the retention of that, and it feels less personal, or at the other end, they're community building, but they're not monetizing. And you really have bridged the gap. And so how did you do that? Obviously your authenticity and things like that, but were there some tactical ways that you led in, and any insight you can give for some of those that might be in either camp right now?
Yeah, no, it's funny that you say that, because I think that at the end of the day, when you have your community, like you need to first and foremost, put your community first. Like you need to show up and put your community first. And I'm not just talking about being yourself, but it's not compromising yourself. It's not like I never took money from a product that I wouldn't use on my own. And really and truly, like most of the money that we took from Bump Club wasn't like to be shown on social media as like an influencer. That's like not, that wasn't our model. And so, you know, it was really kind of putting the community first and then figuring out what it is that they want and how can we get them to buy it. And I'm going to be very honest with you. The number one way we figured that out was we asked them. And when you have a community who trusts you and who converses with you and who you converse with, like I always say, social media is called social media because it's a two-way street. You got to show up and be social. We asked from the very beginning, my very first event, I was sending out surveys saying, what did you like about this event? What do you want as an expectant mom? Are there any speakers you want me to bring in? Any topics you want me to discuss? And when you would, like I would start getting these surveys back and people would say, yes, I need help finding a nanny. Yes, I need help with sleep, or I'm so nervous about breastfeeding. Well, that was a clear indicator of who I needed to bring in that this community would then pay to see. And so, you know, you need to really talk and converse and ask and get feedback. And then the other thing is as you go, don't lose sight of the importance and the power of the feedback of your community. I remember a few years in, we had been hosting dinners in Chicago at this point for a few years. we were also hosting dinners in other markets. And when I say dinners, we had once a month, like an expectant mom dinner. And it was like sometimes 125 women would come and it was amazing. And I remember very vividly, we got a survey that was like, please don't serve chicken. Like I'm like, we're so like, I like, and a lot of expectant moms do have an aversion to chicken. There were always other options on the table, but it was in that moment that I was like, oh, okay. Like we've been doing this for so long and no one has ever brought this up. I'm so glad this woman brought it up. We switched and we like found a new venue that had stations for these moms. And like, it sounds so like simple and you're asking me about tactics, but like really I listened.
Yeah.
We started doubling the people who were coming to these events, wow. You know what I mean? And because they weren't just coming for the meal, but like it was a better option for them. Yeah. And it's just really listening to your community and following through and giving them what they need. I do think there will be times that you make a decision to bring your community something that you think is a great idea and it might fall flat, and that's okay. You just pick yourself up and you pivot and you move on. And
yeah,
you know, that's
yeah. It's beautiful. Well, and actually being heard, and I'm sure in that process of listening and then validating and then seeing that, you know, is definitely what builds that raving fanness, if you will. And I know so much so that you were able to then sell this company that you built, which I think is also a huge accomplishment, because a lot of times you build these lifestyle brands and they kind of start and stop with you. And did you always have it in mind to sell? What was that like selling? And if you look back now for anyone in that position, what do you wish someone would have told you about that process?
A lot, because I wish someone would have told me that it is very hard to sell a company. And actually it's funny. I recently interviewed Jill Smokler, who is the founder of Scary Mommy, and she created a mom lifestyle brand prior to me. And she sold it prior to me. And actually the people who bought her had also pursued me. I ended up not going with them, but you know, she said the exact same thing. Like, I wish someone told me like how hard it was. And also like, you know, every single thing about your brand, but you don't know how to sell it. And so not that I made a mistake and that's not what I'm saying, but like, there are just so many things that go into selling a company. And to answer your initial question, I didn't always know that I wanted to sell it. I always knew that I had a shelf life, because when you think about it, like here I was 10 years after eight, nine years after having my first child, essentially, I'm not pushing strollers anymore, yet here I am like being like, oh, well, you should use this like up a baby Vista or like this, you know, that seemed inauthentic and it seemed very anti everything that I was and why I started this company.
Yeah.
And yes, we had other people on our team who were chiming in, but I remained the face of this brand. And, you know, I kind of felt that I had taken the brand as far as I could take it on our own. We had a giant partnership with Target, which was, I mean, that was like, it's like every marketer's dream. Right? And so, you know, and it was ongoing. We worked with them for, I mean, they're still working with them, and we started working with them in 2012. So, and it's been 10 years since Bump Club has started that partnership. You know, but I knew I had to do one of two things. I either had to sell the business or I had to get investors, because I really felt I had taken it as far as I could go. And I just didn't want to be bootstrapping anymore. I didn't want to be lying awake at night, like being like, okay, like, I hope we have enough, you know, money to, in the bank to run payroll. And like, because we were, you know, when you run events, they cost a lot of money. So you have to front a lot of money when you're paying for events. And so I was approached one summer in the summer of 2018 by three entities, and I was approached by all of them on LinkedIn, oddly enough. Like, I didn't, and it was before I was like, Bump Club's for sale. Like, I was actually in the process of working with my CMO to like build my deck and figure out what that is. And, you know, I vetted these three partners, and I ended up going with the one who wanted me, wanted my brand, wanted my team, and was essentially, you know, we will let you run your business as usual. We want your brand because of your relationship with Target, essentially. Yeah. And this was a company who worked with Target in other areas like beauty, and they really wanted to work with them with baby, and we were preventing them from doing so. And so that's kind of how it went down. You know, I don't regret anything. I have zero regrets about the process. I do wish I had done a little more due diligence about all three entities, not just the one. And when you're in the moment, you're real excited and you're like, I just want to make this happen, you know? And so I do wish that I would have maybe explored and dug a little bit deeper. I don't think it would have changed my decision. But that would be my biggest advice to someone who's selling a company is really do your due diligence on who you're selling to.
Yeah. Awesome. So I know in the masterclass that you are teaching, you go through a lot of this stuff. And, you know, another question too, that I have for you, just in creating that partnership with Target and other strategic partnerships, how did you do that? Did it fall into your lap? Oftentimes we hear the stories. It's like one thing led to another thing. And this showed up. Was it a bit intentional, a bit of both? And yeah, what do you know about the strategic partnership world for advice for those looking to try to do that?
So first things first is that partnerships are key to the success of your business. I mean, when you have a partnership, you're working with another entity that fits in with you and your DNA, and you're sharing your audiences. And when I say partnership, it goes both ways. So you have to make sure that you're a good partner too. So like, that's the first thing. The second thing is when I started Bump Club solely on partnerships. Like when you think about how I started my first events, it was like with the yoga studio. They had a database that shared, you know, they shared my event. It was with a prenatal, a maternity store who shared my event with their database. And I brought the people in. I started reaching out to brands and asking them to be a part of it. And they started sending products for prizes. And at first I wasn't making money. I mean, I didn't make money at first. It was like, I have this audience, I'm hosting these events. Would you like to send product? Well, then you build upon that. And you say to the next event, okay, well, I've had this event. I've proven myself. I have 100 people coming to this dinner. Would you like to sponsor it? And you start with, you know, you start at $1,000. And then the next time you can do $2,000. And then eventually you're doing 5-6 figure sponsorships. But my biggest thing to people in the partnership world is don't go in first and foremost, just like looking to get paid and to transact, because you do have to prove yourself first and foremost. And if you don't have a proof of concept, you're not going to get that 5 or 6 figure check. You're just not. And once you start proving yourself and you start working with brands, other brands take notice in the space. And that's when they start reaching out. And I will say that both Nordstrom and Target came to me. Nordstrom saw an event that we were hosting. We had this big traveling tour for expectant parents, and Nordstrom called me and they said, we would like to host this tour. And I said, okay, well, like it's a ticketed event. That's how we make money. And they're like, okay, well, that's not going to work. And I said, you're right. It's not going to work because the event supports small business. We supported small baby retailers. That's what we did. And I said, but what I can do is create a totally different concept for you. And they were like, let's do it. And then same thing with Target. Target saw what we were doing in the baby space in Minneapolis, because I had an employee in Minneapolis hosting events, and they reached out and they said, well, we really need to connect with community more and not just be about registry. And that's what started the conversation. And so had we not had these smaller partnerships leading up to that, you know, we probably wouldn't have gotten those calls. So like, you just have to think about starting somewhere and building upon that and using the experiences, just like with podcast guests, right? Like, it's true. Like I'll say to someone like, oh, I've had so-and-so and so-and-so on my podcast. Would you like to be on it? And you level up, right? Like,
absolutely.
It's the same thing. You have to start somewhere.
Yeah, absolutely. Lindsay, you are such a wealth of knowledge. There's so many more things that I want to ask you. And on Conventional Lifers, we're going to link a lot of her stuff so you can check her out in more detail there. And you know, just in terms of how you balance your personal life, right? You've got these, you know, beautiful children as well. I mean, you have a lot of different interests and talents, and you keep leveling yourself up, which allows you to keep leveling these opportunities up. And if someone was to look at you on the show and they're like, she is just a boss, like how is she doing all the things, you know, behind the scenes, right? What are some of the rituals and practices and the ways that you take care of yourself mentally, physically, and spiritually to be the person that we get to hear from today?
So the one thing I will say is having kids has really, puts a lot into perspective. And it also, one of the biggest things it puts into perspective is I don't need a lot of sleep to function. And I think that now I have a 12-year-old. So that is something that has come to fruition over the years. But all jokes aside, I am like a bit of a night owl, and I do in the evening take time for myself. Like that's my time. When no one's pulling me in any directions and I can sit down and like watch a show or read a book or whatever it is. But I do have a social life and I do go out with my friends. I do spend a lot of time with my kids. I pick them up and drop them off every day. Often these things are just blocked in my calendar. and I build around them, to be honest. You know, I live and die by my digital calendar, as most of us do. But I book things like appointments, like picking up and dropping off my kids, and they're non-negotiables, and working out goes in my calendar. Do I do it every day? No, I don't. I wish I did, but when it's in my calendar, I do it. And really and truly, that's how I've kind of been able to take care of myself. I also make it a point to do one thing a day for myself. That can be a variety of things. It can be, you know, getting my hair colored or a manicure. It could be going for coffee with a friend. It can be taking a walk and listening to a podcast. It could be reading a book. I mean, there's so many different ways that you can take care of yourself, but it's a non-work thing that I do for myself. And I really and truly try every single day to make that happen.
Yeah, that's good advice. Lindsay, I know you've got a great masterclass that you've been working on, and you've got all this education out to support founders. Tell us a little bit about that. And I know it's about to be, you know, enrolling pretty soon, or right now, actually, probably when this comes out. So tell us more.
Yes, we just started enrolling. I'm really excited about it. It's called Big Impact Marketing for Small Business. And essentially, it came out of a challenge I did earlier this year. And the feedback was people wanted more from me. They wanted more of my time, and they wanted more of the information. And so what I did was I built a 3-month program that it's the same program that I use one-on-one with my coaching clients, but it's in a group setting. So there'll be a cohort. It's going to be 12 live classes. So live with me, interacting with me. I don't want to give you a module to watch or a video, or there will be replays if you miss, but I really like to show up and be engaged and engage with my students. And then there are 3 30-minute one-on-one sessions with me to make sure that you are on track to building a marketing plan for your business. And the whole thing is me giving you the process that I use to build my community, to monetize my community, and to grow my business. And that's what I hope that other female founders get from this masterclass and walk away with.
Yeah, beautiful. And for those that want to check that out, we'll put that link up on our show notes at unconventionallifeshow.com. Where should people go to check that out?
You can go to lindsaypinchuk.com, and there's a ton of information about it on my Instagram at Lindsay Pinchuk. You can click the link in my bio and it's there.
Beautiful. And Lindsay is Lindsay Pinchuk, Pinchuk. You can check her out as well. So Lindsay, let's jump into the rapid fire on Unconventional Lifers. We got a great giveaway if you've been enjoying this conversation that Lindsay has generously put to us. So stay together or stay tuned for after that rapid fire round when we give more info about that. So series of lightning questions coming at you, Lindsay. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right. Question number one, fill in the blank, speaking about yourself. If you really knew me, you would know what?
That I love John Bon Jovi and I've seen him 37 times in concert.
I love it. So good. Next question. What is one place that you've traveled to that you feel like others might not know about or might not appreciate?
El Calafate in Argentina.
Wow. Beautiful. Next question. If you could turn back the time to your 16-year-old self, give her a piece of advice from what you know now, what would you say to her?
I would tell her to keep doing what you're doing and you'll get there one day. I wanted to be a journalist. And even though I'm not a journalist in the conventional sense, like you, I have a podcast and I feel like I'm sharing information all day, every day in a new way of being a journalist. And I would tell her to keep doing what she's doing.
Yeah. Beautiful. And lastly, Lindsay, when you think about the unconventional life, what does living the unconventional life mean to you?
Living the unconventional life to me, honestly, it means doing what's best for you. And like, and honest to God, I think that too many of us think that they have to do things to appease people all the time. And we forget about ourselves. And I don't know if, can I swear?
Yeah.
I don't give a shit what people think about me. I don't give a shit what people think about me, and I do what's best for me and I do what's best for my family. And all too often, I find the people around me are trying to appease everyone, and I don't subscribe to that. So living the unconventional life is doing what's best for yourself.
Yeah. Well said. Lindsay, tell us about the giveaway that you've got for one of the listeners.
Yeah. So someone is going to win an hour of my time. I do a ton of one-on-one coaching and consulting, but I will work with you one-on-one. We can talk about a couple of your business problems, and I'm happy to offer some social media, marketing, content, community building solutions to help you to help put you in the right place for success.
Yeah, unconventional labors, take action on that right now. It's such a generous offer. I know it's got such a big value. So head over to unconventionallifeshow.com, click on the giveaway tab to enter to win that. As a reminder, episodes are always up every single Monday. We give the giveaways for 1 week after they air. So if you want to make sure to never miss a giveaway, head over and listen in on Mondays and check that out. And we'll select someone after the week is over. And Lindsay, I know you've got a lot of great stuff. We talked about your website a little bit. I know you've got a great Instagram for those that want to follow along and stay in touch. What's the best place for people to do that?
I would say Instagram. You can find me at Lindsay Pinchuk. I'm there all the time. I answer all my DMs. I don't have a VA. I mean, it's me. So you can find me over there.
Amazing. And I also know you've got your podcast as well. And if the listeners want to check that out, where should they go?
Yeah, you can listen to me on Dear Founder is the podcast. It's anywhere you listen to podcasts. Twice a week, Tuesday and Thursday, I interview female founders. We share their stories of founding, growing, scaling, and sometimes selling their businesses.
Yeah, beautiful. We'll put all those links up at our show notes. Lindsay, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with us, for being a force of a woman who can create and do it all in her own way, on her own terms. It was so great to have you on the show today.
It was so great to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks so much, everyone.